This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
In a Thousand Ways, writes author and longtime Fringe Festival performer TJ Daw, our culture directs us to be this and not that. Daw observes that there is a belief that our personalities are bendable, that we can choose to be someone radically different from who we're inclined to be, and that we can mold ourselves into new shapes by force of will. But what if that's not true? When TJ Daw first encountered the Enneagram, he was skeptical. The Enneagram is a venerable system for understanding personality differences, but TJ was proud of his individuality, suspicious of type, and associated anything of this kind, as he puts it, with newspaper horoscopes. TJ launched his own personal investigation using the book The Wisdom of the Enneagram by Rizzo and Hudson, and he's been involved with the Enneagram ever since. I spoke with TJ Daw a few days ago as he was wrapping up a series of Enneagram workshops in Orlando, Florida. Here's that conversation.
Is there some kind of official Enneagram headquarters? Where is this taught?
Not really. There are various major teachers. There's various points of in the history of the Enneagram. Like, one of the major developers of it was George Gurdjieff, who was born in what's now Eastern Turkey, and he's an Armenian Greek, and he was born in the 1860s. And then his ideas were developed by a guy in Argentina and then another guy in Chile, who then introduced it to a bunch of people in Berkeley in the 70s. But there's no central, like, Enneagram authority. There's no one person. There's no Bible. There's no main institution. There's no one book.
How did you become involved in the Enneagram?
A good friend of mine, probably my oldest friend, who's a type 8, which is the Challenger, he and I have gone to my family's cabin on Keats Island in Howe Sound ever since we were teenagers. And that has become kind of a sacred space for us. That's where we have turned each other on to different ideas at different times. We kind of escape from our jobs or from our lives and go there and really look at big questions. So he had heard of it. I hadn't. He brought this book, The Wisdom of the Enneagram, which is widely considered the best book. It's by Don Richard Rizzo and Russ Hudson. And I was very skeptical at first. I associated it with astrology. I associated it with just simply putting somebody in a box. But my friend, being a challenger, wouldn't take no for an answer. So he said, take the test. Do it. So, all right. Yeah. So I did the test, which was very brief, and that led me to type 4 out of 9. And I read just the first few lines of the profile for it, which described the inner life of that type. And my jaw hit the floor. And I realized that this had something to teach me. This was somebody who'd never met me and yet seemed to understand me better than I knew myself. And I became fascinated with it. And what I discovered was type 4 is the individualist who prizes their individuality. So, of course, it would be distasteful to be put into a box. But at the same time, my personality type is also famous for wanting to be understood, wanting to be seen, feeling not seen. So the notion of actually being seen and understood and valued for exactly who I am by somebody who'd never met me, no less, was tremendously appealing. And I've done nothing but continue to dig deeper ever since.
So there are 9 types involved in the Enneagram. Tell us more about how you use the knowledge you've gained about these types in your everyday life.
Well, a big part of it is understanding how you separate yourself from others and how you separate yourself from the world. Each type has what's called a ruling passion, which link up to the 7 deadly sins, of which there were originally 9. And sin, as it's taught in most religious education to children, including the Catholic school system in which I learned it, sin is taught in a very simple way, which is appropriate to children. Sin is any act forbidden by God. A more mature understanding of that concept, which was elucidated by a Catholic priest who also teaches the Enneagram, I've become a big fan of, Father Richard Rohr, R-O-H-R. He's got a great book called A Christian Perspective on the Enneagram, and he's got excellent books on many subjects, and I highly recommend looking into them. He defined sin, a more mature definition of sin is self-sabotaging behavior. Sin is that which causes you to miss the mark. It causes you to be unable to see the world as it is and unable to see that you are not separate from the world. You are part of the world and you are part of everything. The deadly sin that links up to my type is envy. So this builds on what I was saying before about feeling not seen and not understood. Another way to look at that is this sense of envy, this sense that everybody else has something I don't. Everybody belongs. Everybody has acceptance. Everybody can move through the world with ease and I can't. They're seen. They get along. They're understood. I'm not. That's not actually true most of the time. I mean, it can be true in certain situations, but most of the time that's a projection on my part that prevents me from actively participating in the world. And now that I know that, now that I know that that is a mental habit that comes up in my life, especially when I'm stressed, as it's happening, on a good day anyway, as it's happening, I can identify it and say, oh, wait a minute, I'm spinning my wheels. I'm self-sabotaging myself. I'm believing something that may or may not be true. Okay, so let's just take a look at that. Am I being excluded? Am I being undervalued? Am I being misunderstood? And sometimes the answer is yes. And then when it's no, I can look at, okay, so what's really bothering me then? What's causing me the stress that's manifesting in this way that's specific to my personality? And it really just helps me be in the here and now. And on a very practical level, I perform in theater festivals. That's how I make my living. For a lot of years, I've come to become alienated from the social scene in these festivals, just believing that everybody else has a camaraderie I don't. It's classic envy stuff. It's classic Enneagram 4 stuff. And over the past few years, I've come to understand, okay, that's not necessarily true. And if I hang out with people, that doesn't remove my individuality. And if I get involved in a conversation and feel belonging and laugh and have a good time, that's not actually a bad thing. That can be a wonderful thing. That can be enlivening and refreshing, and I can really enjoy it, and I can be really good at it. So that's one minor example of how the Enneagram just plays out in my regular life.
Have you been able to use the Enneagram to help deepen or understand your closer relationships, for example, to your partner, to your parents, or to people that have been in your life for a long time?
Yes, most certainly. My partner, Lindsay, was introduced to the Enneagram by that same friend around the same time. And we actually met through him. And she's the same type as me, type 4. So we share this vocabulary. She's just as interested in the Enneagram as I am. And we're both on the track to certify as teachers from the Enneagram Institute. She's also a counselor and coach. So she's got a good vocabulary for this kind of thing. It helps us understand the differences in our perspectives. Even though we're the same type, there are many things that we see differently. And there are many nuances beyond just which category out of 9 you are. That would take too long to explain right now. But our vocabulary continues to deepen in terms of what's going on inside. And how can I approach her with empathy and understanding and what she needs when she's stressed, rather than from what I just approach as what I see as the solution to the problem. This has really helped me deepen my relationships with my family as well. My mother and my sister especially have been quite interested in this. And yet again, this helps us see the differences in our perspective. It helps us understand when another person is stressed, how to be with that person when they're stressed, what they need, which might be different from what I would need. And it helps us understand our motivations and see those times when stress is coming out in a way that's particular to us. It just helps you not take it quite as personally. Helps you understand, or has helped me understand, the parenting choices that my parents make. Because, of course, up until we can identify these things, we see our perspectives through the lens of our personality. They seem correct. They seem objective. They seem like just the way anybody would view the world, the way anybody would operate in the world. And other people that act differently, well, what's wrong with them? They're getting it wrong. Or if my parent parented me differently than I would have parented a child, why would they do that? What's wrong with them? Oh, it's because they see things from this perspective. And if we can have a conversation about that as adults, it's different than saying, you raised me wrong, or you didn't see this in me. It's a matter of, you have your perspective from your personality type, and I have mine, and we both deal with stress in certain ways, and these things clash. And now we can look at that from the outside as adults with understanding and with compassion for ourselves and for each other.
TJ, it seems that the Enneagram system isn't typically taught in academic psychology, but it's extensively used in spiritual and business contexts. Tell us about the broader application and use of the Enneagram in our culture and society to get today.
It's nowhere near as widely known or used as Myers-Briggs. Quite often when I tell people about it, they think I'm referring to Myers-Briggs, which is much more widely known in psychological circles, in terms of counselors, in terms of people who work with people in business. At the Enneagram training that I go to, a lot of the other trainees are executive coaches and personal coaches. So it's starting to make inroads into that world. My field is the arts. So I find it tremendously valuable in terms of theater, in terms of the fact that if I'm writing a play, I can create characters that are different from myself using the Enneagram. I can understand what their motivations are. I can understand what a journey might be for that character, what the hidden inner layers are to that person. I can also use it in terms of responding well to collaborators. Theater is a very collaborative art. And for an individualist, that doesn't come easily. But then if I can see where someone's coming from and speak to them in a language that they understand and give them room for their process. That definitely helps me. I also do one-person shows. That's primarily what I do in my career. I do autobiographical monologues, and two of them have been precisely on this subject, which then leads to many conversations when I'm off stage with people who've seen the show. And that has just led me to believe that just in a day-to-day level, it can help anyone understand what they're going through and what the people around them are going through.
How can a person discover what their Enneagram type is? Do you have to join a group or register somewhere or pay money? How can someone start with this?
There are a number of tests you can do online. And by the description of the people who devise the tests themselves, they're only 60 to 70% accurate. I encourage anybody to, if they know somebody who teaches this or who knows a lot about it, to meet with them. What I have found is the best way to know your type is through personal interaction with somebody who knows the system, because each type is tremendously nuanced and it's not necessarily easy to figure out your type. The types vary quite a bit in terms of what does a healthy version of this person look like? What does, and I'm talking emotional health, what does an average level person, what does an unhealthy person look like? How has a person changed over the course of their life, which might, you know, having kids might change them, going through therapy might change them, going through a severe illness might change them, anything like that. My favorite book on the subject is The Wisdom of the Enneagram, and that the test in that book is pretty short and helped get me to my type. And in that book, each chapter that describes a given type, the first page of that chapter is a list of first-person statements, about 15 of them, that describe the inner life of that type. And you rate your agreement with each statement on a scale of 1 to 5 and then total up your score. But what I've found, that has been the best diagnostic tool I've found, is just for somebody to do the test in the book and then to read the I statements at the beginning of that chapter. And if it fits, then read the whole chapter and see how much it hits home. And then, this is particularly important, if you relate to the unhealthy aspect of that type, if you're reading things that make you cringe, if you read things and you cannot deny, as much as you might like to, that yes, that described me when I'm at my worst, when I'm being my most reactive, when I'm being my most difficult, when the parts of me that I'm ashamed of, then that's probably your type. Because the true function of the Enneagram is to help you work on your shadows. It's to help you unlock yourself from the compulsive aspects of your personality. It isn't just to bolster the nice things about you, although it's very easy to use it that way. It can be very flattering to say, I'm this type, and there are these wonderful things about this type, and good for me. It's a diagnostic tool to a transformational process. There's a lot to it, so if anybody does want to look into it, I encourage them to do so and keep in mind that it is a lifetime study, which is both daunting and thrilling. I have the rest of my life to study it, and so does anybody else. But no one is so one-dimensional that they are simply a list of characteristics that fit within one of 9 categories. And nobody who teaches the Enneagram would posit that they are. There's tremendous dynamism in all of us, and the system actually does allow for that and reflect that. There are 9 personality types. There are 9 different ways for people to resist wanting to know more. People might say it's too private, or who says so, or this tells me something I don't want to hear, or this is going to take away my individuality or anything like that. And that's perfectly fine. Nobody should be brought to this against their will. It's all about listening to what's going on inside. And if some part of you wants to know more about why you keep running in circles or why you keep shooting yourself in the foot, then the Enneagram could be a good way to do that.
TJ Daw, thank you very much for taking the time to join us.
It's been great.
TJ Daw is a writer and well-known Fringe Festival performer. His work with the Enneagram has led to the development of a monologue called Marathon. He's currently performing monologue across North America. TJ and his partner, Lindsay Robertson, are also co-facilitating workshops on developing a personal creative practice. They use aspects of the Enneagram in those workshops. You can find TJ Daw online at tjdaw.ca. You can find the Enneagram Institute online at enneagraminstitute.com.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.